Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and FY 2026 earnings conference call of Alembic Pharmaceuticals Limited. We have with us today Mr. Pranav Amin, Managing Director, Mr. Shaunak Amin, Managing Director, Mr. R. K. Baheti, Executive Director, Mr. G. Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ajay Kumar Desai, Senior VP Finance. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishnan for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Krishnan.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the second quarter results conference call. Let me briefly take you through the numbers for the quarter before handing it over to Shaunak. So moving on, we continued the good start for the year into the second quarter. Revenue for the second quarter grew at 15% year-on-year to 1,910 crores. Growth was across the business, driven by higher volumes and new product launches and expansion in ex-US markets, despite continued pricing pressure in US generics and API. Gross margin was at 73% for the quarter, remaining almost flat compared to the previous year. EBITDA before R&D expenses were at 503 crores for the quarter, representing 26% of EBITDA margin compared to the previous year of 23%, reflecting better operating leverage, resulting in a year-on-year EBITDA growth of 32%. R&D expenses increased by 41% year-on-year to 187 crores for the quarter. These figures are in line with the guidance that we had given for the full year at about 600 crores-650 crores per year. During the quarter, we also completed the acquisition of Utility Therapeutics, marking our entry into the US branded drugs market with Zevia, the product targeted for urinary tract infections and granting marketing exclusivity in the US. The transaction includes an upfront payment of about of $4 million, milestone payments of $4 million each linked to the US launch of Zevia, and achievement of certain specified revenue milestones, along with profit sharing arrangements with the sellers. The net working capital stood at 2,921 crores compared to 2,734 crores as of March 25, and this increase is a factor of increased operating intensity driven by new launches and the new facilities that we opened in the last few years and volume-driven growth. Net debt as of 30th September was at 1,280 crores compared to 967 crores in June 25. The increase in net debt was a reflection of borrowing to fund working capital and the acquisition of Utility Therapeutics, and correspondingly the interest cost increased from 71 crores to 76 crores for the quarter. We expect the net debt levels, excluding Zevia launch, to gradually reduce in FY27, considering the successful launch of new products and growth from new facilities in our core business. The profit before tax for the quarter, before exceptional items, grew by 34% year-on-year to 225 crores. Profit after tax, but before exceptional items, grew by about 30% year-on-year to 185 crores. Adjusted for the exceptional item pertaining to insurance claims received in the previous financial year, that is in the quarter two of FY25, the profit after tax growth was at 20%. Moving to the half-yearly results, revenue grew at 13% year-on-year to 3,621 crores, reflecting growth across businesses. EBITDA before R&D spend for the period was at 927 crores, resulting in an EBITDA margin of 26% and year-on-year growth of 28%. Again, reflecting the EBITDA growth is a reflection of strong revenue growth and improved capacity utilization across facilities. EBITDA post R&D expenses was at 613 crores, which is about 17% of revenue. Profit before exceptional items for first half grew by about 22% to 339 crores, and profit after tax adjusted for the insurance claim I just mentioned was at about 18%. With this, I have given a broad overview of the financials for the quarter and the first half, and I now request Shaunak to take you through the India branded business.
Thank you, Krishna. For the India branded business, we delivered a revenue of 639 crores for the quarter with a 5% year-on-year growth. within this performance, gynecology, ophthalmology, animal health have demonstrated an accelerated performance. The cough and cold segments grew in line with markets with robust operational execution. We introduced two new products in this quarter, and with the implementation of GST 2.0 to ensure benefits of lower GST rate get passed on to the end users, the billing was paused for a few days to facilitate this migration of the channel to the new GST regime. This led to a compression of the billing cycle, especially in the East Zone due to festive seasons, resulting in a marginal impact on growth of the quarter for India business. I will hand over the discussions to Pranav for his presentation on international business.
Thank you, Shaunak. And I'm happy to present the Q2 performance for the international business. Our Q2 performance reflects the continued momentum as we strengthen our presence across key markets and achieving growth in both formulations and API. The performance was driven by a 31% growth in the rest of the world markets, which reflects our strategic geographic expansion and focused execution. Despite continuing pricing challenges, our U.S. business grew 21%, supported by higher volumes, whereas the API business grew by 15%. We continue to maintain sharp focus on profitability and operational excellence. We filed two ANDAs during the quarter, and cumulative ANDA files were at 269. We also received 6 approvals and 1 tentative approval. We launched 3 products in the U.S. We cumulatively have 226 ANDA approvals, including 21 tentative, and we expect to launch 4 to 5 products in Q3 and another 4 to 5 in Q4 of this year. Our R&D investment this quarter at around 10% of revenue reflects our commitment to building a strong pipeline for future growth. We continue to focus on complex and high-value areas such as injectables, peptides, oral solids, and drug discovery, with an emphasis on early entry opportunities like first to file, day one, and NC-1. Our annual R&D guidance was given at 600 to 650 crores at the start of the year. We continue to have the same number in mind. We will invest towards marketing and approval in the product launch of Pivya, which will mark our foray into the branded segment in the U.S. market. We expect to start this late Q4 of FY26. Pivya would target the stable 50 million prescriptions in urinary tract infections, which has had little product introduction for more than a decade. This will have an impact on near-term profitability, but we are confident of the medium to long-term market opportunity that the product will help us capture. With this, I throw the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, just want to understand the R&D bump-up better. So Pranav, if you can help us understand, although you are maintaining the full year guidance, but where the majority of spend went during the quarter that led to sharp increase in the R&D? Which segments or product categories, if you can elaborate?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, if you see on an H1 basis, I'm saying a guidance of 600 to 650 crores, then on an H1 basis, we're within that, within the amount that we had said. So it's okay. I think we're not too far off. It's just in the quarter-wise, we're 10%, but I think at, for the rest of the year, at the end of the year, we will be around the 8% kind of levels. In terms of where it went, I think predominantly most of it is on the formulation development, but a lot of it being on the injectables and complex injectables also, which as we gradually increase our injectables and complex injectable filing, that is also kicking in for us.
So is semaglutide or any other peptide also part of this expense?
So we have set up a peptide lab, and we do have a bunch of products and GLP-1s under development, semaglutide being one of them. Having said that, we are not there in the first wave of launch of semaglutide in the Canadian market and even in the U.S. market. We won't be there in first phase of semaglutide. However, we are working on tirzepatide Mounjaro, and we believe we will be in the first phase of that in many of the markets.
Okay. My second question is on your branded foray in the US market. So
yeah.
You mentioned some investment will go towards that portfolio. So very broadly, how much or what kind of investment are planned for that category? And
so I think, this is more a little bit more of a mid to long term play, because as we build out a field force, you know, in the start, it'll be like an umbrella shape in terms of the revenue that we generated. So initially, we will have a field force which will be promoting the product, and it'll take a couple of quarters for it to ramp up. So we may see a couple of quarters that we may have a little bit of a profitability hit because of this. But as we go along, it's, as I said, it's like an umbrella curve, and you will see a significant ramp up as we start generating prescriptions in this area.
Okay, that's helpful. And my last question is, if you can comment on, you know, what has led to very strong growth in ROW market and API.
Yeah.
Especially API, I understand demand had been muted for, I guess, not only you, but across the market for last couple of quarters. But I think your performance is very exceptional. So if you can help us understanding that.
No, good question. Yeah, thanks, Amandi. See, okay, so two things. One is the ROW generics for us, that is part of the business. If you see over the last 10 years or so, 7 to 10 years, we've grown by a CAGR of almost 20%. So that has been a very good growth market for us. You have to take this, I think this year also we'll end up growing by about 15 to 20%. This quarter, 30% growth is still exceptions because last year H1 had a low base. Compared to H1, H2 has a much higher base last year, because last year during H1 we had some supply difficulties. So H2 will be there. We will grow in H2 as well, but it won't be as high. But at the year end, we'll be about 15 to 20% in ROW generics. As regards API, yes, it is still not as rosy. If you see the last 8 quarters, even we've been a little sluggish in terms of growth for API. And I think just like a low base, this quarter we ended up having some more development quantities in some areas. API is still challenging. I think for the year, we will grow at about 10%. But yeah, this was a good quarter. It was an exceptional quarter.
Okay, so full year around 10% growth, it's looking more visible. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
That's helpful. Yeah, thank you for your response.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, again on this utility therapeutics, if you could sort of elaborate in terms of number of MRs or field force you want to set up, and in addition to this, what kind of portfolio you intend to build up? Is that going to restrict only to urinary tract infection? If you could throw some light in terms of these aspects.
Yeah, so what we will do with Utility is we will gradually ramp up the field force. We will start with some of the high prescription areas. This is in women's health, right? So we will target the women's health area. We will start with a smaller field force to initially see how the ramp up happens. We'll go with high prescribing doctors, and we've already identified the territories. We will start with that field force, and as we move along, as we start generating sales, we will increase the field force to go for more doctors as well. In this same area, we will look at in-licensing and more products as well. But first, we want to stabilize this product, stabilize Pivya, get the sales going off the ground. But actively, we're scouting around for other opportunities as well. I believe this can be a good de-risk from the generic business and the pricing challenges that we have in the generic business, and we can build a good franchise in women's health, and that's something that we're going to aim to do.
So at least for, let's say, over next 12 to 18 months or 12 to 24 months, how much sort of an additional operational cost one would factor before we start seeing meaningful traction in the revenue?
So I think it will take a couple of quarters at least. Let's say if we start end of, so I think Q1 FY27 will be the first full quarter of launch as per the schedule that we have currently, as per our plans. So I think first full year, I think it will take a couple of quarters at least to get it going, and I think then believe the revenue will ramp up. As I mentioned to Ramyanti, it will be like a little bit like a umbrella curve, a J curve, where it will go up much faster as we start generating prescriptions.
Okay. So considering this aspect and subsequently reasonably good traction in the non-US as well as US market and API, Any guidance you would like to give for 2026 or second half of 2026 EBITDA margin?
So EBITDA margin, I think only guidance I've given in the past and I continue to stay by it is that if you see fundamentally what will happen over the next couple of years, we will see an improvement in EBITDA margin moving forward. So it could be the quarter on quarter you may see a variation, but next year, next year we would like to go to the 18-19% kind of levels. In the next couple of years, get to a 20% EBITDA level. And that will happen with growth across all the sectors. I think with India business will come back to growth. Animal healthcare is already doing well. Gynec, ophthalmology are doing well. And once the main business also starts getting back on growth, the other aspect is the U.S. Growing. We have some facilities like the injectable and the onco facilities which are not as fully utilized as of now. As the utilization goes up, that will help push up their margins as well. So I'm pretty confident that in the next couple of years, we will bump up towards closer to the 20% kind of levels.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Bharat Sely from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand on the new specialty side, so what sort of investments or levels we are looking to earmark towards this business? What sort of losses we can see maximum when we get into this business?
So Bharat, what will happen is these will be all in terms of upfront costs. As you know, we've acquired this for milestones. We've got a few milestones. Total milestones will be 12 million paid over a period of time. And the operational cost is just the onboarding of the field force. That's what's going to be our operational cost. So we're going to try minimizing that. As I said earlier, that to Tushar, that we will gradually start the ramp up of the field force. And as we start getting some momentum, then we will build up the field force a little more. I think let's wait till Q1 to see how the ramp up starts, and I think we'll get a very much better idea as we move along.
Sure. And what gives us confidence that it can be a successful product? Because we have seen multiple companies getting into specialty side and then rolling it back later on, considering the So what gives us the confidence over here?
Yeah, so what gives us confidence is in this segment, right, in women's health and UTI infections, there haven't been too many new molecules that have come out. This is a tried and tested product which has been launched in Europe and it's been there and commercialized in Europe for many years. So it's tried and tested. Number two, it works well in women who are pregnant. I think it's quite a safe alternative. So that gives an additional bonus. And since there haven't been too many new introductions, we believe there's a niche that we can go to. We've done some surveys with doctors in the U.S. and we believe that there is an opportunity. In fact, once some of the medical professionals have heard about this, they have already started approaching us as to when we're launching the product. So that gives us some excitement. I believe it will be an interesting area. It's the first foray into branded segment in the U.S. And as we move along, we'd like to add more products to this as well.
Okay. And last one, what sort of losses we will have from the new injectable plant which we have commercialized over the last two and a half years?
So we don't have losses per se. I think we do have unabsorbed overheads. And I think as we go along, I think the first half of this year, we've already seen a much better utilization of these facilities, which has also led to the margins going up. And as we move along with the launches that we have in the pipeline for H2 and FY27, this will further, you see further impact on the top line, which will continue growing in U.S. and the rest of the world markets, as well as the margin improvement.
Surely. And since we are investing into the new specialty side, there could be some margin pressure for at least 5.6.7, right?
So I think, let's see, I think as I said, Q1 and Q2 is where we feel, I believe Q3, Q4 onwards, it will start getting normalized.
Any budget amount which you would have thought of to invest in the first quarter?
No, we haven't disclosed that. We haven't gone to those numbers yet.
Sorry. Thanks a lot. I will get back to the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Binu Patirpambil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. That's a follow-up question on ROW markets. Are these mostly Europe, most of the sales coming from Europe?
So Europe is a big market for us. I think for us, our ROW business is broadly centered around 4-5 territories, which is Europe, Canada, Australia, Chile, and South African Brazil.
Okay. Of which Europe, Canada, Australia, I mean, the regulated markets would be roughly what? Half or 70%?
85%.
85% is regulated. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Yash Singhi from Resonance Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, on the Indian business, I wanted to understand how is the Epithal sales trending as in, if that is still trending downwards and the rest of the pickup is mostly due to an animal health.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Just to understand how are the Epithal sales trending, so just to understand the way going in future, is it animal health and gynac which is picking up and Epithal still being kind of a driver for the growth?
Yeah, so Azithral, I think it's, we feel the base is stabilizing and we're starting to see upward movement of Azithral going forward at this point. Animal health continues to outperform. Gynac, I think, also will continue to outperform.
We can expect a better than IPM growth as Azithral starts trending upwards. Is that correct?
Yes, hopefully yes, soon.
And on the U.S. Business, just trying to understand, despite a good U.S. growth in this quarter, there's a QOQ softness in gross margins. So anything that you can update on that?
So I think in terms of gross margins, you know, we've always guided that we'd be 70% plus gross margins. So I think Q on Q would be just a matter of either product mix or something or the other. So I think at the end of the year, I believe the cost margins will be at the same similar levels that we've been guiding at.
What range would you
see? It will be in the similar range of 70 to 75% that we've been guiding in the past years.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Rahul Jivani from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, this 5% growth which we saw in the India business during the quarter, you indicated that there was GST disruptions as well in terms of your booking of sales during the quarter. So can you quantify the impact which GST would have had in terms of domestic business growth for 2Q?
So, you know, as far as GST disruptions were concerned, you know, we did pause the billing for a few days in the month. And you know, we expected the orders to come back. I think that flow into October, and we are yet to see how the October trajectory is looking like. So, but what we got to believe is that, you know, the demand that switched over from September to October is something that should partially build the growth for Q3, but I think there will be definitely some extent of primary sales that would not have come back. So it's not straightforward to calculate what is the impact on the growth. But you know, one factual aspect is that, you know, in terms of the festival related impact, you know, last year we had that in October, but this year we had that in September. So that would have an year-on-year impact, especially for the eastern zone. But we'll have to wait and see how the October numbers pick up and how the primary versus secondary stack up, and we hope that the impact is not significant.
Sure, sir. And sir, on generally, generally on the domestic business performance, while we have been outperforming market growth in, let's say, therapies like gynec, ophthal and animal health, over the past couple of years, we seem to have underperformed IPM growth. So when do you expect the domestic business growth to first catch up with IPM and then potentially start outperforming the market growth as well?
Yeah, so I think we maintained that in the past there was a base effect post-COVID for large part of our acute business. I think going forward, I think we should be able to catch up with, let me re-answer it. I think our represented market growth will actually start catching up with market growth soon. And I think when that happens, I think our internal growth also will start matching the market growth, which for the last few years, our represented market for acute business was underperforming compared to the overall market growth.
Sure, sir. And any plans of adding on to the rep team in the India business?
As of now, no plans.
Okay, sure, sir. And just one question I had with respect to the U.S. business and capital allocation. So Pranav, we had let's say controlled our R&D spends over the past 2 year period, where our R&D spends had moderated from 12-13% to an 8% kind of a number.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
This quarter obviously we saw an increase in R&D spend, but you have maintained your guidance for full year. But let's say from a 2-3 year perspective, what kind of an R&D spend are you budgeting in? And when do we actually start seeing some better productivity on this R&D? Because at least in terms of the new launches for the U.S. business, we haven't seen, let's say, limited competition approvals still coming in for us.
Yeah. No, sir, it's a good question, Rahul. I think, I don't think we will ever go back to the 12, 13, 14% kind of R&D spend that we were doing when margins and the returns in the U.S. are much higher than what they are right now. So we will not go to those levels. I believe we will still be at that 8% kind of levels for R&D spend. I think one of the reasons the bump up is Q1 was a little bit lower, and it's just some, as we're filing injectables and some more peptides, I think you're seeing a little heavier kind of R&D spend that we're incurring. But I still believe, I think for the guidance for the year will be at the 600 to 650 crore level. We won't exceed that. And moving forward also, we'll be at that 8% level.
Sure, sir. And when do you start seeing some of these, let's say, differentiated and complex product approvals coming through for us as far as injectables and peptides are concerned?
Yeah, so we have some peptides. And it's still we've got one peptide which we've got approval for, but the GLP ones, there's still time for that. I think we've done batches of tirzepatide, the Mounjaro right now, which has caused a little bit of a bump up in the R&D cost for this quarter. And apart from that, some of the complex injectables, we will see some approvals coming up in the next couple of months, hopefully. That will be a little more meaningful. It won't be as big as some of the others, but it will be a little more meaningful with a little more limited competition.
Sure, sir. I will join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Maulik Varia from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. I hope I am audible. So a few questions from my end. I just wanted to understand, I think in the last quarter we talked about certain hiccups due to the UCPMP implementation across the domestic geography. Can you provide some update on that, if that's completed and or is it still impacting the business?
I'm not able to recollect what you're mentioning about the UCMP on the India business.
I'm not sure, Maulik, we commented on that, on the impact. So I think we in fact have been following the policy quite ahead of time. So we don't see any challenges on that front.
Okay. And also we launched generic Entresto, I think in the later end of the first quarter. So how has that been picked up?
So I think that's been picked up. Well, we picked up, there was a lot of competition on that product, and pricing was much lower than what I would have liked, I would have expected. Having said that, we have picked up a few meaningful accounts. We have a decent share on that.
Okay, sir. So we commented that the growth in the second quarter was due to volume. So would Entresto be a significant contributor to that?
Yes, Entresto would be.
Okay, okay. And later, so all the, I mean, in other expenses, apart from R&D expenses being high, we've seen other expenses reduce for the quarter on a year-on-year comparison. So what all aspects have been under control, or maybe we've cut down on that?
See, the other expenses are predominantly fixed costs. So, you know, while the year-on-year cost has increased, the growth is below the revenue growth, which is leading to a bit of operating leverage impact. And that ties back to the improvement in capacity utilization that we have seen across business. So, so I think we should see it in that front. And it also goes back to the point which Pranam mentioned, that as we see capacity improvement in capacity utilization, we should see the margin expansion coming through, subject to the price impact that we'll have to see. Right? So I think it's more of the controlled fixed cost increase that we've seen improve the margins.
Okay, okay. And sorry, I would have missed it, but can you please repeat how much was the plant utilization for the new plant?
So we don't go at plant level utilization, you know, and I don't see that as a necessity for doing financial model at a plant level.
Okay, okay. Any broad level color on the utilization number on a consolidated basis?
See, broad level, the OLC plants are all running at optimal capacity utilization. S4 has got some little bit of headroom for future expansion. API is all running at optimal capacity. This is three new plants which are a little lower than that too, in that certain lines are higher, certain lines are lower. It's the injectable and onco plants which are running a little lower than what we'd anticipated. But you know, see, it's like you've got a lot of back-ended products and launches that will come from these plants anyway. And I think you'll see an impact of that in H2 itself.
Okay, so once the product approvals start coming in, we will see improvement in the usage.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just trying to understand more on the U.S. Business. When you mentioned that, you know, this quarter we have benefited from the volume, is it something that only new launches and the existing products have been benefited, or you know, we have also benefited from any one-off opportunity like we did early in our earlier quarters?
No, I think just the new launches, as was earlier mentioned. I think Entresto was a new launch. Apart from that, we had about 3-4 other launches that we did, and gradual ramp up in some of the other products that we are supplying. But we haven't seen any shortages or one-time buy opportunities that we used to see earlier. The market is quite well supplied, and there's a fair bit of erosion. So we're not seeing as many short-term supply side opportunities.
Okay. So this number, what we have done in quarter two, you feel that this is more sustainable in the subsequent quarters also?
Yes, unless there's more erosion in some of the larger launches like Entresto. Well, we've already seen some erosion in Entresto since we launched. But I believe that with the new launches, if we keep ramping up, we should be okay.
Okay. And on the India business, you know, whatever explanation you have given, based on that, is it safe to assume that for this year, we will be underperforming the market growth?
No, I think that's still half the year left. I think we're still. We are not making that statement at all.
So okay. We mentioned that, you know, we are looking at input productivity that we are working through across the field force. So that should help us bring back closer towards the market. And I think the full impact of that will be seen from that. But okay. I would like to actually, you know, if you look at the from purely from a modeling perspective, if you look at the growth for second half of the financial year, you should consider the fact that the last year second half was on a higher base. So while we will continue to, we expect growth to continue in the second half of the year, you need to factor the higher base of the last year when you do the prediction.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, ma'am. If there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to Mr. G. Krishnan for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you for joining the call. In case you've got any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to Ajay Desai for and the IR team for any further follow-up questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Alembic Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.